That's right. Yeah, just to let you know, we are having a barbecue hamburger fundraiser for the Bottomas after the service. If you're a visitor, feel free to stay and eat with us. No need to donate. But this is our family looking after our own, and we're here to bless the Bottomas as they to help cover some of the costs of their moving, because that is a big move. So this morning, over the summer, we've been talking about rest and refreshment. Last Sunday, Marianne spoke about having a balanced life, how busy has become another addictive pattern, and even with all the conveniences that we have so far, we have become an even more busy people. When I always reflect on that, and last week I reflected with myself of where am I allowing myself to be stolen from and deceived after her message. That was one of the questions that I asked myself. If I don't belong to the world anymore, why does the world so often dictate how my life should be or how I should run it, especially in the busyness? Marianne spoke about God as a gentle gardener, and I agree. I also see God as a gardener who knows his plants. I love to garden. Gardening is one of my peaceful places. But I know you need to take a handle on your plants, and keep good tending the soil and tending the plants. And God knows what the plant needs. And in this place, I see God as ruthless with compassion. He is not hard-hearted, but he is a ruthless gardener with deep compassion. God the gardener wants his plants to thrive and bear fruit, and so he will prune away everything that won't be fruitful, and he will throw it in the fire. A branch that bears fruit remains dependent on the vine, which is Jesus, and is cared for by the gardener, God the Father. Does anyone remember Marianne's four applications last week? She gave us four applications. Three were from somebody else, but one was from her. It's quiet. What was that? Right. A heart of worship. Talk to God was the first one. Apply his promises was the second. Obey his leadership is the third, and the heart of worship was number four. And we ended the service entering into a time of worship and praise, which takes our eyes off of ourselves. It takes the eyes off of our problems, our worries, our cares, our busyness, and we're faced with giving all glory to God. Tim, this morning, he was in my brain this week, I guess, when he was picking those songs. You'll know more as we enter into the sermon. But I just sat there during the worship and went, we're singing the gospel good news this morning. We sang that this morning. It was all about the good news of Jesus. So this morning we'll be talking about coming to Jesus, and he will give us rest. Let's pray. Holy Spirit, we ask that you would come and illuminate your word. We ask that you would dig into the recesses of our heart and mind. And Lord Jesus, we ask that you would be front and center. We thank you that you are the reason that we sit here today. And you seek to put everything into order. So we trust you. We trust you. Amen. So Matthew 11, 28 to 30, this is where we're going to land this morning. This is the NIV. It says, come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and the burden I give you is light. In the message, it reads, are you tired, worn out, burned out on religion, come to me. Get away with me and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me and work with me. Watch what I do. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me and you'll learn to live freely and lightly. This summer, my motto has been live in his rest. More often than not, my life has been busy, or it's been defined by busy. I've used the word busy to describe life and what it's like, and yet it's not how I want to live. That's exactly what Marianne said last week. Her desire is not to live busy, but a life dependent on the Lord. I know full well what Marianne was talking about with the expectations of working in ministry. In particular, when I worked in a parachurch organization, which ran programs, had follow-up meetings after the programs, training sessions, speaking engagements, resources, and constantly updating these resources. And these are all good, worthwhile things to put your hands to. When I came here on staff at Trinity as associate pastor, I felt God wanted to teach me something different. So I came from a very busy, driven ministry where it was a program that we needed to run, and we needed to be efficient in that running of that program. And I come to Trinity, and there wasn't a lot of programs. It wasn't a lot of busy to put my hands to. And really God was saying is that he wanted me to learn how to live in his rest and do ministry in his rest. So this morning we're looking at Matthew 11, 28 to 30. And on a quick glance, we can read these verses to give us comfort from when we're burdened down with life, when the emotions get big and they take over. When we're burdened down with life as a believer, and I believe that is true, we can use this scripture as that. We are given peace as disciples of Jesus, but these verses offer to us, the poor and needy, the greatest news that Jesus is our Savior and our Lord. Matthew 11, a brief synopsis. Jesus had just finished giving instructions to his 12 disciples. He went out to teach and preach in the towns throughout the region. John the Baptist, it says, he's still in prison. And John sends his disciples out to talk to Jesus and see if this is the Messiah. John wanted to know, is this the one that we are expecting? Jesus basically tells them to go tell John what they'd seen and experienced, the miracles and the good news. Preach that God blesses those who are not offended by him, Jesus. Then Jesus goes on to sing the praises of John the Baptist and calls him more than a prophet, that none who ever lived is greater than John. He compares this generation to children playing a game in the public square who complain to their friends, "We played wedding songs and you didn't dance, and played funeral songs and you didn't mourn." Jesus was proceeding to reprove the inconsistencies here and the fickleness of that generation, basically saying that they are like children, nothing pleases them. And then Jesus ends this time by praying a prayer of thanksgiving, thanking the Father that he hid these things from the wise and the clever and revealed them to the childlike, saying in verse 26, "Yes, Father, it pleased you to do it this way." And Jesus says in verse 27, "My Father entrusted everything to me. No one truly knows the Son except the Father, and no one truly knows the Father except the Son, and to those to whom the Son chooses to reveal him." So let's begin this morning in verse 28 in Matthew 11. Which says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." I broke this part down into three parts. The first part, come to me. This beckoning to the crowd was not a passive persuasion of the Lord. The Greek word for me here is ego, which in this context is to be expressed emphatically. It wasn't a passive come to me or a weak come to me. Jesus was saying, come to me, which was out of conviction, without doubt. Jesus is saying that I am the one and I'm calling you to just come to me. Not trying to figure everything out or wondering if this is really the Messiah, but to come like a child trusting that Jesus is true to his word. Come to me and I will reveal the things of the Father and reconcile you to him. Jesus is saying that he is the source in that statement, that the Father has entrusted everything to him, and he is now offering to reveal the Father to anyone who comes to him. What controversy that statement would have been to those listening. This would have sent the teachers of the law into a frazzle. What? Come to Jesus, not to us, the teachers of the law? No sacrifices? Here Jesus was asking them to come to him like a child, to receive what no one else could give them, forgiveness and atonement of sin. And the second part, all of you who are weary and carry heavy burdens. In reading this without context, we think, oh, the heavy burdens of life, which make us weary. But what Jesus is speaking to here is the heavy burdens of tradition and ordinances that the Pharisees and the scribes had placed in the minds of mankind. They taught the law of Moses, but they lived this out with grandeur. Trying to keep these rules and regulations was a heavy burden and a heavy task. The expectations on the people were great, and in this place, they placed a forced obedience, which was far from easy and light, but it was a heavy burden of striving in doing it and keeping everything in order. This striving was exhaustive, it was depleting, and it was never-ending for the believer. So Jesus was beckoning this generation who only knew striving to do it in their own strength, and doing it in their own strength, striving to keep all the rules and regulations, striving to do it perfectly to come to him. So Jesus was saying, come to me, I'm the one. I will give you, all of you who are heavy and weary carrying these burdens. And why did he say this? Because he was saying, I will give you rest. Rest. He would give us rest. What, I don't have to strive to get it right? I don't have to work so hard to keep every rule and expectation, every regulation set out for me by the teachers of the law? What does he mean by rest? This word rest in Greek is anapo, if I've said it correct. I don't think I've said it correctly, which is to give, experience rest after the needed task is completed, to pause, rest after precious toil and care. Matthew 23, 1-5 reads, then Jesus said to the crowds and to the disciples, the teachers of religious law and the Pharisees are the official interpreter of the law of Moses. So practice and obey whatever they tell you. But don't follow their example, for they don't practice what they teach. They crush people with impossible religious demands and never lift a finger to ease the burden. Everything they do is for show. Jesus is saying, look, follow what they tell you to do, for they are the official interpreters of the law of Moses, but don't behave like them. Don't do it for show and don't make it about being proud. Don't strive. Jesus said later in Matthew 23:11, the greatest among you must be a servant. He is saying, be like me. be a servant. I will teach you and give you rest and refreshment. If you follow me, it will mean to deny self, to give, to be exposed to difficulties, to trials. But in this place, I will repay you with peace and joy. That was his rest that he was offering them, inner peace and inner joy. Jesus is emphasizing here that he will give what no one else can give them. The Pharisees and the scribes could not give them what Jesus could give them. Rest from the burden of sin, from the weariness of toil, rest in peace while serving Jesus and doing good. 2 Thessalonians 3:13 says, "And as for you, brothers and sisters, never tire of doing what is good." Romans 12:11, "Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord." And Galatians 6:9, "Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up." So it's really saying that there is toil, there is things that we need to do, but not to be weary in that place, because the Lord is giving us peace. He's giving us joy in that place of doing good. Continuing on to Matthew 11:29-30, "Take my yoke upon you. Let me teach you, because I am humble and gentle at heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy to bear, and my burden I give you is light." Here, Jesus is offering them the ability to be taught by him. This Savior who is humble and dependent on the Father, he is gentle and meek, but far from weak. Meekness does not mean weak. Jesus exercises God's strength in him, which is obediently following his Father. This is where his strength lies, is him being obedient to his Father. Here he offers them the ability to abide in him.